You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man MG, Marcus Grant, fully vaxxed, still dodging all the variants like Neo in the Matrix, and hoping that, I don't know. I keep saying I hope that we're getting close to the end of this thing. I feel like this is just going to be with us forever, and we're going to figure out sort of how to live with it as best as possible. Either way, the good news is football season continues its steady drumbeat toward the start of week one. Got another fun show for you today. Of course, producer Justin is alongside as he fends off the haters in Titans Nation on Twitter. I see you there. I see him there. And, you know, he's battling all the folks who are naysaying what Mike Vrabel is doing in training camp. And fight the good fight, man. You do what you do, man. I appreciate it. But anyway, we are continuing our summer cavalcade of fantasy stars, which actually I think this may be our summer finale of the fantasy stars. We may have other folks on, but this is kind of it for like the one-on-ones that I've been doing this summer. And I feel like this is a great way to end it. We're doing it with a guy who is not just a friend of the show, but an actual friend, a guy that I talk to every day, a guy whose work you know if you have been in the fantasy space for any amount of time. He is smart. He is funny. He is a guy that I have, I look up to his work. I'm just going to be honest with you. I appreciate what he does, and I take his word for it. It is Mr. Reception Perception himself, the one and only Matt Harmon. Pal, I mean, I talk to you all the time, but it's good to talk to you in this format. It's good to talk to you here, man.
Smart, funny, and you appreciate my work? I mean, my God, Marcus. And like finishing the series with me, I would have personally finish on like a stronger note, but that's just me. But nah, man, I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Well, you know what's funny though? I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because years and years ago, when you first got into this space, you were doing your own podcast called The Backyard Banter. If I remember right, I don't know if I was the last one, but I know I was sort of near the end of that series. Because if I remember correctly, I think you recorded that your half of the interview from like a hotel room in like New Mexico or something.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah, no, that was my first summer break, you know, the lovely summer break that some of us got at the NFL. You know, it's like being a teacher, basically, right? Like, I got my summers off. How nice. But no, like, yeah, so that was what I did during that summer. But yeah, no, you were one of the last guests on that podcast. It's still like a show, surprisingly enough. I'm always shocked that people are like, man, I wish we could still listen to Backyard Banter. Like, I still go back and listen to some of those episodes. So no, I'm glad that people loved the pod. Your episode was awesome. Everybody's episode was awesome. There was like a who's who of at that time in the industry. And it's funny, man, like now I don't know who out there is listening cares about this, but I'm just gonna, you know, lead us into this anyways. Like, it's crazy now that it feels like the industry is so much more crowded with great voices that are doing awesome things and that are totally different from the folks that were creating content in like 2016 2017 when I was doing that podcast. I feel like if I always thought, like, at some point doing the show, I'm like, man, it's, you know, at some point, like, I'm going to have talked to everybody, right? Now it's impossible. You could never talk to everybody.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's funny because, like, you were talking about it being, what, 2016, 2017. Like, it's not really that long ago, but the way the space has just expanded in that relatively short amount of time is incredibly amazing. And it has been great to watch so many different voices and different people do different things. And I will tell you that you know, I'm trying to keep up, man. You've seen me, man. I'm on the TikTok now.
You're on the TikTok, dude.
I gotta keep up.
By the way, you're like a freaking natural at it. You know, you gassed me up. Like, let me gas you up here for a minute. Like, if I could have picked any fantasy analyst to be on TikTok, like, just 15 seconds of, hey, here's what you need, idiot. Like, take it and go. That's you. You're funny. You're engaging and interesting there. Like, you're gonna basically just destroy fantasy TikTok. Like, I couldn't do that. I can't say anything in 60 seconds. I would spend 5 minutes on the show now or something like that, and we've barely talked about football. So yeah, I would be like the stone worst person on TikTok. I'm a lurker on the TikTok. I get all my, like, I'm not all, I'll tell you what, you will never appear on my feed because I'm not on like sports TikTok one bit. I'm on like barbecue, fitness, cooking, mm-hmm. TikTok, and I love it.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny you say that, and you're right. We haven't gotten to any football yet. We will, trust us, folks. We'll get to football.
It's coming.
You know, the TikToks I make are not like the TikToks I watch. I'm very much, you know, cooking TikTok and plant TikTok. And
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Like, so, yeah. So what I, you know, the stuff I'm putting out there is not like the stuff I'm consuming. It's a completely different world. All right. I guess that's enough of that. We should probably talk about some football now.
Yeah.
I know. Let's start with a couple of preseason headlines because, you know, the stories out of Dallas always keep coming. It probably doesn't hurt for the Cowboys that they're on Hard Knocks. So, you know, they are in our face literally every week now. The latest is Dak Prescott probably not going to play this week against the Houston Texans. He's still sort of, you know, being cautious with that shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's coming off the horrible leg injury that cost him most of last year. Are you even a little concerned just because we haven't really seen Dak get all that much work yet?
Yeah, I mean, you always would rather trend on the positive side of injury news and the fact that, you know, he got an MRI. He's still kind of being cautious with it. Is not exactly what you want to hear, especially because, as you mentioned, like the one Hard Knocks clip that really kind of went viral from the first episode was him basically being like, I've rested enough. Like, I want to be out there. So clearly it's not him being cautious of his own accord. He would rather be out there and be, you know, letting it rip and all that stuff. So I would say I'm mildly, like, I'm not concerned, but I wouldn't just like brush it completely off, or I'd keep my eye on it or whatever. Was it? I think Kyle Brandt did like a Good Morning Football segment. Here's some more NFL Network plug for you, as if you need it on the show, right? I think he did a like a segment or something when he was like at DatCon 4, like instead of DefCon 4, something like that. That's about where I'd put it. You know, very low on the spectrum. Not that I really understand the whole DefCon spectrum thing, anyways. But I would say I'm not truly worried, but I'm at least going to keep my eye on the situation because, I mean, we're basically all counting and have all been projecting as if, you know, Dak is going to be back and 100% ready to rock, you know, out there like he was in the first 5 weeks of the season or whatever. If that's not the case, you know, that would be pretty problematic for all of these other players that we've, you know, hung our hopes on here, with Zeke as like a guy that I've pushed into the top three of my rankings and I think should be a consensus top three back off the board, closer to Dalvin Cook than he is the guy at four, Derrick Henry. You know, CeeDee Lamb's a guy I've got as a top 12 receiver this year. Amari Cooper's still like a really good early round pick, and Michael Gallup is like the slam dunk best value in fantasy. All that starts to kind of fall apart if we've got who's their backup now? Garrett Grayson?
Still Garrett Gilbert, right? But the
Garrett, you know, Gilbert, not Garrett
Vinucci
Grayson
is still lurking back there too somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah, JMU's finest Ben DiNucci. So yeah, no, I mean, at this point I'm not like freaking out about it, but it's definitely a storyline to monitor.
By the way, I for years always confused the DEFCON levels. I thought five was like the worst or whatever, but
it's natural,
one.
Right?
It just seems that way, right?
Sense. Like
it's
that doesn't make any one. Sense.
You talked about Amari Cooper. The other thing is that I know he's still sort of recovering. They're saying that he may play this weekend, but I mean, he's another one. I don't know how you feel about it, but he's another. I'd like to at least see him a little bit. I'm still drafting him. I'm still excited about what he could be, but it would kind of be nice to actually see him on the field getting some work in at some point.
Yeah, that would be great. I never like to draft running backs or receivers that are coming into the year already nursing an injury when you're dealing with them in like the early rounds and stuff like that, you know, because you're banking on them coming back to full form, but who knows how they really are. And Amari Cooper is not a guy who's played well when injured before. So I haven't really been drafting Cooper proactively, not because I have a problem with his individual outlook. It's just that I really like to draft CeeDee Lamb in that round three range. I love drafting Gallup later. He's just of the three, if you're putting them with like ADP baked into it, he's the third most appealing option of the three guys. And just where he goes, I'm typically targeting other players. And this is just like a reason to break the tie against him, is that we haven't seen him yet and everything like that. But we know exactly who he is when he gets on the field and when he's at 100%. He's a really good player, an awesome flanker receiver that gets really soft coverages and free releases from the line of scrimmage because they move him around so much. They put him in the slot sometimes. And I mean, frankly, one of the biggest developments out of Dallas training camp, save Zeke being in the best shape of his life, because it's the every other year thing with Zeke, man. It's like, it really is like he's either coming in completely rocked up after, you know, kicking ass in the offseason, or like last year he had COVID. 4 years ago, he was in Cabo or something like that, dealing with the contract thing. So it's always like the every other year thing with Zeke at this point. Besides that, the biggest development to me was that they were actually following through on all of these hopes that they were going to move these receivers around. Like, I didn't really want to trust Mike McCarthy that he was going to be creative with his player deployment or his route combinations, because if you were familiar with his time during the Green Bay era, that was definitely not the case. They were very static in that offense. They were very static last year. Like, CeeDee Lamb was a 90% slot guy. Gallup was isolated as the X receiver basically on every snap, and Cooper was just the flanker that, again, they move around a pretty decent amount, and he's in a pretty good role. But nevertheless, the fact that Lamb was playing more perimeter snaps and excelling in those reps, that Gallup was talking about being more excited playing from the slot more, I think that actually benefits all of these guys, raises their ceilings, and for a guy like Lamb, raises their floor prospects. So that's a trickle-down effect to Amari Cooper too. So there's plenty of reasons to be excited about this Dallas receiving core. We just need Cooper out there, and we definitely need Dak out there.
I mean, bro, look, Mike McCarthy's into analytics now, so things are just naturally going to get better. It's going to be fine.
I do kind of like balk it when everybody, you know, freaked out about, oh, well, he just straight up admitted that he didn't really mean it when he's talking about you know, analytics. He just said, he basically admitted that he just did that just to get the job. It's like, we've all done that, guys. Like, what are you talking about?
Seriously.
What are you talking about? If you haven't, like, I'm not saying lied, but if you haven't stretched the truth in a job interview, you probably didn't get that job, baby. That's all I'm saying.
I've opened PowerPoint on, you know, more than one occasion, so that means I know PowerPoint. Like, that's just how it works. That's just facts. All right, down to Miami, where Brian Flores is talking about his running backs and saying that they plan to use their top three guys, quote, situationally, which is basically just a fancy way of saying we're going to have a three-headed running back committee.
Yep.
I felt like Myles Gaskin, at least for, you know, the offseason through free agency and the draft, sort of escaped unscathed. But now it appears that he is going to have some competition back there. I know Malcolm Brown is the guy right now that is sort of wrecking everybody's dreams when it comes to fantasy and these Dolphins running backs. Now that, you know, the word apparently is out that there's going to be a three-headed monster down there, is there one guy that you like more than the others?
Yeah, I mean, if you were drafting Myles Gaskin early in the offseason in like the fourth, fifth round at his ADP, you were making a mistake then, and you know you were making a mistake now. My newest theory, Marcus, about like the fantasy offseason is that we really, as a community, and I'm not going to do the whole like you people out there do this, because I'm sure I've done this too, but I think there's like sort of, we get these narratives in our head about players, and then, or like storylines that are going to happen. And then once they don't happen, like they don't happen to the way we expect, then we kind of count it twice in a way. And I'll explain what I mean by this, because I actually think the Dolphins are sort of at the epicenter of this theory that I have, because it's the same thing with A.J. Dillon in Green Bay. I think A.J. Dillon is one of the most undervalued players in fantasy right now because, you know, Jamal Williams leaves. We all expected that, but a lot of folks expected Aaron Jones to leave that backfield too. And then when he didn't, the folks that were ready to vault AJ Dillon up the rankings were just like, oh, forget it. Like, let's push him back down, because that optimism that AJ or that Aaron Jones didn't go to the Dolphins, you know, that optimism was crushed. So then we didn't even just like leave him where he was going to go. We actually pushed him further down into that eighth, ninth round range, where I think A.J. Dillon is, not only does he possess the otherworldly upside if Aaron Jones ever was to get hurt, and by the way, he's been hurt this offseason too, he still presents like some standalone value because he can take over Jamal Williams' role. So that's like kind of the, but then at the same time, on the Dolphins side of this thing too, I feel like most people expected Myles Gaskin to get usurped, right? Because he's a guy that doesn't have a big resume. The Dolphins were potentially going to sign Aaron Jones. They didn't sign Aaron Jones, obviously, because he goes back to Green Bay. Then the Dolphins were probably going to take Javonte Williams at that second round pick. Denver traded ahead of them, so they don't take any running back there in the second round because they're smart. They didn't just pivot like, well, we really got one running back. Let's just reach for somebody here. But at the same time, all of those moves, the fact that we were talking about them still indicated that they were not set on Myles Gaskin being the guy, but he sort of got that he's the only guy left tag throughout the offseason. But they still did sign Malcolm Brown in free agency. Like, I've had Malcolm Brown as a top 50 running back basically all offseason, not to indicate that like, oh man, you got to draft Malcolm Brown or anything like that, but at least to indicate these two guys are probably going to be closer in their workload than their fantasy ADP would suggest. Because like I said, Gaskin was a fourth or fifth round pick. Mm-hmm. Brown was a guy who was just, you know, not even on the radar at this point. And now he's on the radar because Flores said this, but basically it probably should have been the case all along that we were concerned about Gaskin sharing some workload with Malcolm Brown, because you know, he's like the Jamal Williams type, like coach's catnip, great pass blocker, doesn't fumble, not that exciting, but won't screw you over, basically. So I would say I'm just not at all surprised by this development. And yeah, I mean, I guess you're still going to rank Gaskin ahead of Malcolm Brown for sure, you know, but there's just never been a situation once this offseason where I've been like, yes, I want to take Gaskin here where he's going.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I feel like, too, because, look, I know that I personally went through that whole story arc that you just laid out for Myles Gaskin of the, you know, from the somebody's going to come in and take his role to the, well, nothing happened, so I guess it's all good, to the now it's like, see, this is what we knew was going to happen, which I guess I don't know how we as a group of people solve that other than to, like, I don't know, maybe if we, like, you know, here's I think the best way to solve it, but it will never, ever, ever happen is, you know, we don't hang on everything and we don't spend the months between, you know, April and July just wildly speculating about what might happen. You know, like for us to you know, take a pause and just sort of accept things and then we all come back when the team sort of come back, that would be the wisest choice. But the content beast has to be fed all the time. So
also, buddy, our salaries have to be fed. So
nah,
maybe
look, I got bills, man.
Keep,
like,
cut,
it's fine.
Cut this thought out of the podcast. I'm joking.
But yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, if because we overthink things, right? Like,
yes.
It causes our thoughts to shift and our ideas to shift. And, you know, accordingly, it causes ADPs to shift for guys. But I think, you know, sometimes we're right all along. We just don't trust ourselves to be right over the course of the summer months.
Yeah.
All right. Obviously, I can't have you on the show and not talk about wide receivers. It is your stock in trade. You know, you have built a whole separate entity around it. But I noticed on the Twitter machine recently, you were sort of having a conversation. I don't want to call it an argument. It was a legitimate just conversation and discussion about separation metrics and what this means for some guys. Because there are some players who are really good receivers who don't necessarily stack up that well when it comes to separation. And I feel like has it become, is it a thing that people read too much into? And what potentially is the danger of sort of reading too much into some of these separation metrics and guys that may or may not be good at it?
Yeah, so when we talk about separation metrics, obviously we're talking about like yards of separation or separation at target, those type of metrics that are collected by a few sites out there. Not reception perception, not receptionperception.com. That is a totally different thing. So we'll put that aside for a second. My problem with these metrics is, one, they've already been proven out that there's no correlation between these separation metrics and fantasy production or just production in general or really anything. Hayden Winks over at Underdog Fantasy just moved over there from Roto World, RIP the title Roto World. he moved over there this offseason. He wrote a great piece kind of showing that exactly, that, you know, yards of separation does not correlate to fantasy production or anything like that. In fact, some of the best receivers in the league actually have, you know, that are down there at the bottom, right? So inherently, like, that should kind of tell you it doesn't really pass the sniff test. Like, I, you know, sometimes analytics and data can be simplified to in a way of, like, if it really tells you something that's completely, like, if it tells you a player is bad and you know this player is good, I would think twice about it, right? Basically, which is why I've always, you know, to pat myself on the back here and talk about reception perception, there's some of the best receivers in the league: Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, you know, Antonio Brown during his prime. Those guys were the best players in reception perception, right? Like, so that, I feel pretty good about that in the way for the sniff test part of it. But just from like an actual on-field play perspective, why do I care if a guy has, you know, 1 yard or 2 yards of separation at the point of the catch? Because this is my biggest problem with any type of per target efficiency metric in general, is when, if you're trying to measure wide receiver quality, you're inherently welcoming in the variable of the quarterback, of the pass. And Allen Robinson was kind of what sparked me to tweet about this in general, because I think he's like bottom 70 player in separation metrics at target. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, you know, those are other guys that are like in the bottom of the league. And again, if you're watching football and you think Allen Robinson and AJ Brown and DK Metcalf aren't getting open, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just don't know what you think that means. And for Allen Robinson specifically, when you're welcoming in the inherent value of the target, right? Like, You're welcoming in Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles on this equation. Like, guys, we think of guys that who win these great contested catches. Well, oh, they're winning contested catches because they're not open. That's not necessarily the case. You can be wide open and your quarterback can throw you into a contested situation, and therefore when the metric is calculated, you're going to be closer to that defender because you had to adjust for the bad ball. So I hope that sort of explains kind of my thoughts on the whole thing. And, you know, because any metric that doesn't adjust for man coverage, zone coverage, short, intermediate, deep routes, like Jimmy Graham was like top of the league I think in 2019 of this metric. This should just tell you again, like, kind of what we're dealing with here.
You know, I would throw in one more variable. You talked about the different variables. You also figure some of these top receivers, when you talk about an Allen Robinson, a DK Metcalf, and AJ Brown, the guys they're going against as well, they're facing some of the top corners and defensive backs, right, in this league, which automatically makes it's hard to get separation against, you know, a great defensive back. So that's probably one more thing to sort of throw into the mix there.
It's also like a trust thing too. I mean, Matthew Stafford, Kenny Galladay, another connection. Like, he knows he can throw it up to Galladay and he could go get it, even if there's just the sliver of separation. And like, to me, it's more of like a pass fail thing. Like, either you're open or you're not. Like, if you're open by 3 yards or 2 yards, if you're open and you presented a reasonable target for the quarterback, that's all I care about. Not like he was open by this 0.5 of a yard as opposed to this 0.5 of a yard.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I like the way you described this pass fail, because I think that's sort of, yeah, it's either one or the other, yes or no.
Right.
So, I was looking, and obviously you've done a ton of profiles on reception perception. I mean, you were doing this for years, but I know the site's got a bunch of good new stuff on there. The one thing I've sort of been curious about in general with wide receivers, it used to be like when I started doing this job, you know, so many years ago, we would always talk about sort of the rise of the third year receiver, right? It was sort of in that third year when most guys sort of really started to blossom. I feel like in the years since, that learning curve has sort of shortened, right? So, like, you know, we for a while it was like the second year receiver. And now we sort of expect guys, especially the guys who were drafted high, right? When we look at, you know, this year, you look at the Devontae Smiths and the Jamar Chases and Jalen Waddles. Like, we expect those guys to come in and be productive right away. And mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, Odell Beckham sort of ruined it for a lot of people. But as you chart these guys and you start to really dig into some of these players, is that the case for most that they can come in and be productive right away? Is there still that learning curve? Are we only expecting, I guess, production from the elite types, or is that kind of an everybody thing now?
Yeah, I think it is sort of a case by case basis because, like, for example, Jalen Reagor is a great example of a guy that I think Reagor actually had. I think the reason that the Eagles put themselves into the brain pretzel where they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, which was wrong at the time, and it's hilariously wrong now, right? Like, the Eagles needed somebody to come in and make an instant impact. Like, they needed somebody to play in that receiver core last year so that they weren't relying on Greg Ward or trying to, you know, uncover Travis Fulgham out of nowhere, or, you know, God forbid, throwing Alshon Jeffrey at the end of the season back out as a starter again. They needed somebody to give them day one production, immediate impact. And Justin Jefferson was the guy. I hate to do this to Eagles fans. I'm sorry, but like it just is the perfect example of this problem. Like, Justin Jefferson was the guy because you could see it was all over his college film that he was a technically detailed, nuanced route runner, that he could run routes like an NFL veteran. I compared him to Keenan Allen coming into the NFL draft. Mm. I still think that's a great comparison today. And that was just, again, it was all evident. But the reason they put themselves in this brain pretzel was they also said, like, well, we really need speed, which was true. They absolutely needed speed on that offense. But Reagor last year, whereas Justin Jefferson came in and was a 91st percentile in success rate versus man coverage and reception perception, everything that you would have thought, like from day one of the best route runners in the NFL, one of the best separators in the game. Reagor, on the other hand, literally has the second worst success rate versus man coverage ever charted in reception perception history. This is over 300 players since 2014. That doesn't mean that I think Jalen Reagor can never become like a useful player in the NFL, so I want to put that caveat out there, but it just goes to show, like, you watched Jalen Reagor last year, and he just had no technical detail to his game. Just couldn't run routes at all, and therefore could not separate, and was sort of a flop in his first year in the NFL. Like, maybe he improves that. That's absolutely possible. You know, Davante Adams is a great example of a player who really improved his route running and has now become one of the best receivers in the league. I don't know that Jalen Reagor is going to do that. I don't know that I'm banking on anybody ever doing that again, but that's kind of the point here, in that I think from an individual player perspective, the guys who can run routes really well and separate at a high level, those guys can still come in and make an immediate impact. But from like a league-wide thing that I think is happening here, it's not so much that college teams are better preparing their players to be pros, right? Like, we know that college teams don't care about that. They certainly want to develop their players and they want to do right by them. But more importantly, they want to win games. So like, if that means winning games, you know, putting guys in like gadget roles in college, or teaching a guy to run routes, they're going to favor winning games and putting guys in the right role every single time.
Right.
So I think what's actually happening is that the NFL is meeting college halfway, or more than halfway. We always say that college is like 5 years ahead of the NFL. I think the NFL is now sort of catching up to the point that these guys are, you know, some players are Their usage is more flexible. A guy like Debo Samuel is a great example. I think if Debo had come to the league like 10 years ago, you know, they would have like made him play special teams or moved him to running back or something. But Kyle Shanahan looks at him and says, okay, I can put this guy in a role where I create touches for him. I get him away from man coverage on the outside. I let him just do what he does best as a yak machine. So I think that's really what's happening here, is that coaches, good coaches and good teams especially, are being more flexible with their player deployment to better just get them on the field right away so that they all don't have to be Justin Jefferson. Like, had Doug Peterson given Jalen Reagor a role where he was lining up in the slot or getting away from press coverage and man coverage, which he couldn't separate from last year, maybe we're talking about an entirely different story with Jalen Reagor coming into year two.
Yeah. I mean, I know I sort of sort of bought in last year. Obviously, it was disappointing to say the least. But I think you're right about. I don't want to say it's positionless football, right? Because I know there's this talk about the NBA where people are going to transition or a positionless basketball where you have players who can do multiple things. I don't think we'll ever completely get there in the NFL, but I do think you're right about taking a guy's skill set and trying to figure out how to best use that. I think also some of it is just because, as you mentioned, like some of the concepts and ideas that are being successful in college are now being applied to the NFL. And it is, I think if you're a head coach, it's easier to adapt the scheme to your players than try to, square peg, round hole into whatever system you're trying to run offensively.
Kadarius Toney, what are the Giants going to do with Kadarius Toney? I mean, he's had a rocky offseason in his own right, but he's like the perfect example of a guy that had he gone to, I don't think the 49ers need a receiver, but just to use that example, had he gone to like a progressive young coach like Kyle Shanahan, they would have put him in the right role. Like maybe we're talking about a great year one impact, all other things, aside, but he goes to Jason Garrett. Like, if I'm gonna pick a coach to find the best out of Kadarius Toney, who cannot run routes, who is not a detailed technician at all, but is really explosive in space, I probably wouldn't have picked Jason Garrett to be the guy to get that role out of him.
That's another one. Like, I didn't really understand it at the time when they drafted him. I understand it less now. It's been weird. I don't know.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
One of the, you know, for folks who haven't, you know, logged on, who haven't subscribed to Reception Perception, I know you have thrown some tidbits of red meat out there from behind the paywall to kind of get people excited. One of them was on Odell Beckham Jr., who is a guy that I just have not been able to wrap my head around this offseason. you know, I still think that guy that we saw in New York is still in there somewhere. You know, obviously last year the injury pretty much derailed everything. The move to Cleveland has not been great for, you know, any number of reasons. So I'm just sort of on the fence about what to do about him. You obviously took a look. You kind of dove in depth. Where do you fall on who OBJ will be this season?
Yeah, definitely one of, if not the toughest evaluations at the wide receiver position right now, which is one of the reasons that I did decide to make his profile 100% free for anybody to read. If you want to try before you buy with perceptionperception.com, you can read Beckham's profile from 2020 and 2019 and realize, oh, I'm going to get this information for like 60 plus receivers in the NFL right now. And, you know, hopefully that's appealing. But on Beckham specifically, one of the reasons beyond just from a business standpoint, I thought it was a good idea to make his profile free. It's like, you've got to get it right this year with Beckham, and you have to kind of decide what's the reality with him. Because as you mentioned, like that player from the Giants days, I would say he was like a legendary talent in those days, like on a trajectory to be one of the five best receivers to potentially ever play pro football, you know, in his time with the Giants. He finished. He never finished below the 98th percentile in success rate versus press coverage. And again, we're talking about like a very young player at this point. He also still to this day owns two of the four best success rate versus man coverage scores of all time. I mean, we're talking about an elite, elite, elite player on his own individual basis. Then he goes to Cleveland in 2019. He falls off all the way to the 54th percentile versus man coverage, 42nd against press, you know, from like one of the best ever to an average level receiver in 2019 with Cleveland. And again, Reception Perception isolates the receiver from the quarterback. So this is not Baker Mayfield's fault. This is not put this all on Baker Mayfield. I think, and my conclusion basically coming out of 2019 was Beckham was either, you know, all the lower body injuries have taken their toll, or, you know, this was just an off year. Like, he was hurt. He was playing with a hernia injury that year. It was just one bad season. I thought 2020 was going to be really important, and I'm happy to report that his 2020 results were awesome. Again, you can go on the website and check it out. He was back up there above the 90th percentile against man and press. Not quite those legendary days of New York, but pretty close. Like, one of the better separators against man and press in across the route tree in the entire NFL. So I think from an individual player perspective, even if the numbers didn't back it up last year, I think Beckham was close to back to being his old self to start 2020. The problem is we got another injury question coming into this year, right? Because it's a shortened sample of games in 2020 because he tears his ACL. All the reports are positive this offseason. That's great to hear. And I don't know about you, but I don't buy into the narrative that Beckham and Mayfield just can't, they don't have chemistry. They can't figure it out. I think it's more so coincidence that they haven't popped off at the same time just yet. It's not as if, like, as soon as they popped Beckham out of the offense last year, Mayfield immediately took off. It took towards the back half of the season into the postseason for Mayfield, I think, to just get comfortable in Kevin Stefanski's offense, coming off an offseason with no, you know, real training, with no preseason, a weird offseason with no OTAs, all that stuff, like training camp, all COVID stuff, whatever. So I actually think that sprinkling Beckham in the form that he played in 2020 on top of this offense could like launch them up to being one of the most, if not the most efficient offenses in the NFL, because I think he's still at that superstar level. At least he was playing at that last year. It's just tough to know what form he's going to be at this year, because again, the lower body injuries have stacked up at this point. But call me a sucker, I am keeping the candle lit for one more year, and I have been ranking him ahead of consensus and drafting him at his ADP this year, because it's not like last year, or even especially the year before that, where you had to pay the iron price to do it. You can basically get him in the sixth round this year, you know, if that, and like as your wide receiver three, and I'm very comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I think that is sort of the thing that gives me comfort about drafting him this year, is because you aren't necessarily banking on him to be your probably one of your top two wide receivers. I think there's still going to be spike weeks in there. He will have week winning games for you. I just feel like the consistency may not be there. Although, hey, look, man, one more year for Baker Mayfield in this offense, getting him comfortable. And even like, I agree, yes, it's not all on him, but having him comfortable and productive only helps everybody else around him.
Exactly.
So hopefully that makes things better. Corey Davis, you know, we finally saw the breakout for Corey Davis that we had been longing for years. Now he's in New York playing in this Jets offense. Do you have a level of confidence, or how much confidence do you have, that he can sort of continue this success in a new place? And the other part to that is, you know, what about like Denzel Mims? Are we in on any of these Jets receivers?
Yeah, it's funny because all offseason there's sort of been this fretting over Denzel Mims is playing the third team. Denzel Mims got food poisoning from salmon and lost like 10 pounds or something
like that. Yeah, man.
I mean, all these Denzel Mims storylines, and there's been a few things I think that have been lost in the weeds with all that, which is one, like Keelan Cole's a good player, you know, like he's not like a superstar. He's never going to win you your fantasy league, but I get why the Jets like Keelan Cole and might want to play Keelan Cole over Denzel Mims. So there's that part of it too. But also, like, Elijah Moore has been the steady drumbeat until he got this quad injury recently. He's been the steady drumbeat of he's a rocket ship rising up there in New York. By the way, 1,000% in on Elijah Moore, who is a reception guy, no question about it. Like, draft him in every dynasty league. Earmark him late in your drafts as long as he gets back healthy at some point. Like, I definitely want to be in on the Elijah Moore experience, who I think, based on his reception results, legitimately reminds me of like a young early career Antonio Brown. I think he's that type of separator, that explosive after the catch. And like, he was Ole Miss passing game last year, like when he played, he was there in the entire engine. Your boy Lane Kiffin made him the focal point of the offense there. And it made sense because he's a really good player. So while we've been kind of focused on all those storylines, I feel like Corey Davis is kind of been forgotten about, to the point that I think all of these Jets receivers, I think Mims will play a little bit if he's on the roster. I think Elijah Moore will play a good amount if he's on the roster. I think Keelan Cole will mix in. Jameson Crowder will rotate in. But the guy who's probably going to be on the field for every single snap is Corey Davis. And Corey Davis is not, you know, some superstar separator in reception at all. I think he's more of like a rock solid number two receiver. But the Jets haven't had anything close to rock solid in years. And they paid him, you know, like 18th, 20th highest paid receiver in the NFL. I think they properly valued him in free agency. I think he's going to – the two routes he ran the most often last year were slants and digs, those in-breaking routes to the middle of the field. That's going to be perfect for Zach Wilson in this like Shanahan offshoot offense. So I did not expect to be ahead of consensus on Corey Davis, but after doing my projections, just because – the targets you can dole him out based on the snaps and routes run that he's going to have, I have him as like a top 40 receiver, and he goes like outside the top 50. So I'm not telling you to draft him at wide receiver 35, but I'm definitely telling you to draft him ahead of consensus, because that you can get him at such a steep value this year.
I feel like for him, the Elijah Moore drumbeat that you talk about, I think has a lot to do with it, because I feel like whenever I talk about the Jets offense, like, I always throw in Corey Davis's name, but I feel like I won't say I'm alone. There are plenty of us doing this, that there are other people talking about Corey Davis, but I don't feel like he's getting that same level of recognition. I think the other part of this is that I think people are just still sort of hesitant about anything connected to the Jets.
Totally fair.
I mean, like, seriously, like, because, and this even goes beyond, like, you know, the Adam Gase situation, right? Like, I mean, there are a generation of football fans that only know Jets futility, right? So, like,
this I think there's like that. Multiple generations at this point, you
right.
know?
That so, don't... like, so at this point, like, anything connected to the Jets, people are gonna sort of hesitate, and so I know that's, I think that's part of why we don't get as much Corey Davis talk as maybe we should.
Very fair.
I know that you get a lot of requests, or you got a lot of requests to chart Mecole Hardman. Are we trying to make Fetch happen, or is Mecole Hardman going to like be a thing like outside of best ball leagues this year?
Yeah, as you mentioned, a lot of requests for Mecole Hardman. Not to do another site promo here, but one of
please. That's what this is for. This is like coming on the Tonight Show, man. You just like sit here and plug your project, you know?
Right, exactly. So one of the cool things this year about the Reception Perception site is that you get access to our Discord if you're a Prime or Sicko subscriber, which, by the way, is actually super fun. You know how much I hate to be bothered and like hate to talk to really anybody other than my fiance or you guys in Slack. That's about it. I will say having a Discord is awesome. Like, it's great. It's an awesome thing. One of the things that you can do is also like all off season, people have been suggesting guys that were not in the initial release of the site to like, let's get these guys on the site. We really want to know what they look like in Reception Perception. So subscriber request. One of the ones, as you mentioned, was definitely Mecole Hardman. And, you know, I kind of think with Hardman, this is just as an individual player perspective, I feel like we've almost been too hard on him because of our own expectations, right? Like, people expected him to sort of take that next step last year, and then when he didn't really take that step, like, there are people out there legitimately like, oh, not this again with Mecole Hardman. I'm like, not this again? He's been in the league for 2 years. Like, what do you mean, not this again? But he's like, he's just getting started. And I went back and charted him, obviously, and the one thing I'll say is I think it was kind of like an average player last year. He absolutely had too many drops. He actually has the highest drop rate among the guys on the site right now, so he definitely needs to clean up mistakes. Some things like that. But really, to me, I kind of want to see him used as less of a gadget guy, which I think he's been so far, because he actually did not got dropped on first contact a lot in his Reception Perception sample. But, you know, from like a separation perspective, a success rate versus man, zone, press, all that, he's kind of right around the league average. You know, I think he's just been an average receiver so far. He's not been anything special. And I think if you're an average receiver, though, and you're getting more of a full workload, if you're the third guy getting the targets there in Kansas City, that's worth a lot more than other offenses. So for me, I think it just depends on where he's going to fall in fantasy this year. So, I mean, I think you could tell I'm not like all the way in, but I'm not all the way out. There are some sites where he's legit getting drafted as a top 40 receiver. No thanks on that. Yeah. But there are other sites where he's going completely undrafted. So I think if you can get him as a late round guy, I think he's in line to be, you know, their primary third receiver. And by that, I just mean like he'll be third on the team in targets. DeMarcus Robinson and some of these guys might play more snaps outside than him or in, you know, two tight end sets. I don't really care. I think this is going to primarily be a three receiver offense. And I think Mecole Hardman, if he's used as more of a traditional receiver and less as a gadget player, I think he's got enough there to be, you know, a potentially starting level guy.
Yeah, thing that caught my ear when you were talking about that is you being the king of drop agnosticism, saying he's got to clean up the drops a little bit. Like, that'd be like, wow, man, he's got some issues with drops. If Hardman's saying he's got to clean that
up. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, he's got the highest drop rate out there, but he doesn't get a lot of targets. So that means, you know, you're not in the few opportunities that you're getting. Guys that get a lot of opportunity, you know, Deontay Johnson, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, those guys that drop a lot of balls but also get a lot of opportunity. I don't really care about the, you know, 10 to 13 plays they drop passes. But, like, if Mecole Hardman's going to drop, you know, 5 to 7 balls on 50 targets last year or something, whatever it was, that's really not what you want.
That's a problem, right.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, so week two of the preseason gets underway on Thursday night, and I got a handful of questions and things that I'm sort of paying attention to that I'm looking out for and want to get your thoughts on them. First one, can Cam Newton hold off Mac Jones for the starting quarterback job?
It is a great question because they're one of these offenses. The 49ers are the main one, and the Saints are also one too, that the entire complexion of the offense is going to change a lot based on who's the starting quarterback. Because, you know, we used to think of guys like, well, you know, RG3, we want to get a backup like RG3 who could run the same offense. Or you think about that all the time. Mac Jones, Cam Newton, very different style of quarterback. Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, very different style of quarterback. Taysom Hill, is he even a quarterback? I don't know, but if he is, different style of quarterback than Jameis Winston.
Look, I throw Justin Fields and Andy Dalton in that same category too.
Yeah, absolutely, they're like the same dichotomy, right? Especially because the Bears are having all these offensive line issues. It's like at least Justin Fields might be able to bail him out every now and again from these situations. I don't know that Andy's bailing anybody out in that scenario. So on the Patriots specifically, like, I actually think it's just tough. Like, I don't know that Mac Jones, based on – he looked pretty good in preseason action, but, like, the practice reports doesn't seem like there's a big separation between these two guys. And I really do feel like Bill Belichick wants to give Cam Newton, like, a chance to be their starting quarterback now that they've actually – you know, changed like the complexion of the offense to the point that they have pretty good players out there. But I think Mac Jones, if he's out there, would probably unlock a more traditional passing offense, which I think would be good for Damian Harris, a guy that I have ahead of consensus, because he'll get those goal line opportunities that Cam Newton would have taken. And then the trickle down to the pass catchers. Dude, I love Jacoby Myers. I think he's one of the most underrated route runners in the NFL. I think he is one of the best late round picks you can make because he's out there for every single snap with the starters in the preseason. I think he's going to play slot. I think he's going to play outside a little bit. But again, Myers is probably better unlocked if they're just a more voluminous passing offense. And even if Cam is the better quarterback right now, which is kind of an unknown, mm-hmm. whether he's the better quarterback right now, there's no argument to be made that like Cam Newton's going to bring the overall pass volume down in New England, just like Trey Lance will probably bring the pass volume down in San Francisco and Taysom Hill in New Orleans and Justin Fields in Chicago. So from a volume perspective, we probably want Mac Jones to win this job, I guess. But man, I hate to say that as a longtime like Cam guy, because I would love to see like Cam have one big renaissance here. But yeah, if you want guys like Myers and Jonnu Smith, and even Nelson Agholor to like outkick their ADP and Damian Harris too, you probably want Mac Jones out there.
Yeah, I mean, just the bit of it I watched last week, there was a notable difference in the offense from when Cam Newton was on the field versus Mac Jones on the field. As a football fan, I want to see Cam have one last hurrah. As a fantasy manager, I can't. I don't have the stones or the stomach to take Cam Newton anywhere.
No.
Similar question in Denver. Can Drew Lock hold off Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was expecting Teddy Bridgewater to just win, like just to win this job because he's so rock solid and steady. But it seems like that gap is pretty close, if not even potentially favoring Drew Lock starting week one right now. And they're sort of they're not quite the same. I saw producer Justin pointed this out in the chat. Like they're not quite the same that, you know, the same equation that some of these rushing quarterbacks like will change the complexion of the offense. But stylistically, Locke and Teddy Bridgewater are very different quarterbacks. And, you know, potentially like Drew Locke in a theoretical world where he's playing good football would unlock more of a ceiling perspective of this team. But I don't know about you, man. It almost doesn't really matter to me who wins this job from a perspective, because the biggest problem I have with these Broncos guys is not that number one, there's not going to be like a high end starting quarterback. I don't think by any means, like even if Drew Lock takes another step, he's not going to be like an above average starter. Teddy Bridgewater, probably not going to be an above average starter. I think you're hoping for average at best if you're Denver. The big problem to me is that unlike last year when Teddy Bridgewater lifted up Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore to top 30 fantasy finishes, along with keeping Mike Davis involved as a receiver, you know, the Panthers defense was awful. They were not in many run first situations. The Broncos defense with Patrick Surtain already looking like he's a great player, and they already had a ton of good cornerbacks and pass rushers in tow already. This team is going to be like a run first defensive minded team. So I'm worried about the pass catchers from a volume perspective, almost regardless of who is there at quarterback. That's my kind of biggest problem with Denver right now. But I do think it kind of looks like Drew Lock might start week one.
Yeah, which is interesting. I don't think I would have pegged that. I don't think many people would have pegged that, you know, a couple of months ago, but here we are. I would love above average quarterback play, because that would make me feel a lot better about, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, et cetera, et cetera. But
yes, that would be nice.
We may have to settle for league average. You may be right there. Is there a running back in Houston we should pay attention to? Anyone at all?
No. probably not. Like, I had to, after the preseason, when it looks like Philip Lindsay is going to be the early down guy and like David Johnson is just going to be a third down back, a receiver, you know, I bumped David Johnson down. I already had David Johnson really low to begin with. And I put Philip Lindsay as a top 50 back, but not somebody that, like, I guess, you know, he was like completely off my radar was Philip Lindsay, because I expected this to just be the David Johnson, like, primarily David Johnson show. I guess I was wrong about that, but I don't think it really matters anyways, right? Like, do you want the early down banger on the Houston Texans offense? You probably don't. And you'd probably favor the receiving back anyway. So, like, someone asked me that recently, like, well, what do we do with the Texans backfield now? I'm like, you bump Johnson down, you bump Lindsay up a pretty good amount, and like, he's in the late round range, and Johnson's like a double digit round pick, but that's where Johnson should have been all along. What you do with the Texans backfield is exactly what you should have done all along, which is don't target it proactively. Like, if one of these guys mm-hmm. falls to you in a decent range, fine, go for it. But, man, I mean, I just don't think you want a running back attached to this offense, especially if that – like, it was one thing if David Johnson was going to get, like, a workhorse role. It does not look like he's going to get a workhorse role. So, like, you don't want a committee backfield with this offense. You just don't want to mess around with that.
You know, I kept telling myself that somehow Philip Lindsay was going to find a way to, you know, it's to paraphrase Jeff Goldblum, Philip Lindsay finds a way. Like, it finds was like, way, yeah. I knew it, but at the same time, it's like, it comes back to what you said. Like, okay, yeah, maybe he is their lead back, or he's the guy who gets the most work. That offense is still going to be awful.
Bad.
It's just going to be bad. So, yeah, it is, I guess it's the, not the big fish in a small pond. It's like the biggest fish in a puddle, I guess. It's just not, it's yeah, not anything cool. You want. Right, exactly. Speaking of big fish, I mean, Alvin Kamara, we know we're still drafting him in the top, what, 4 or 5 pretty much in just about every situation. The rest of that offense, though, it's sort of falling apart. I mean, you know, who knows what's happening with Michael Thomas, and we're still trying to figure out who the starting quarterback is going to be. Like, are there any Saints that we're really excited about besides Alvin Kamara?
Man, the Saints offense is impossible to project right now beyond Alvin Kamara. And even like Alvin Kamara, you know, he's a stud. He's a 1A back, absolutely. But it's like normally I would not want to be advising people to take a top 5 pick that's attached to an offense potentially captained by Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, you know, with this cast of characters. It's one thing if Michael Thomas was going to be in the mix, but this receiver core is a complete unknown. That said, I like Marquez Callaway. I like what I've seen from him. Our buddy James Coe and my business partner James Coe is trying to convince me to like put these snapshot guys up on the website, like guys who put like Bryan Edwards, Marquez Callaway, Van Jefferson, who played like no snaps last year. But he's like, let's not make him RP Cannon or anything, but let's give him like a little taste. He's probably going to convince me on that because he's usually the one with the good ideas. Anyways, I like Marquez Callaway, what I've seen so far. I think that there's been a steady drumbeat too, that he's been a really good player. So like, take him in the late rounds for sure. Like, why not? Somebody has got to get targets there. Maybe it's Marquez Callaway, a guy who I think he's got some talent. Like, I think he has flashed a little bit to this point in his career. But beyond that, man, like, the offense has it's a great offensive line. The fact that Sean Payton exists is still kind of the saving grace here. Like, I don't know is Sean Payton really going to captain a team that has a bottom 10 offense? Is that really possible? You know, but man, the skill position players beyond Kamara would kind of dictate it's possible. I think Winston could have given them a passing boost, like unlocked Michael Thomas as more of a downfield receiver. But when the hell is Thomas going to play? And again, right, then beyond that, it's Tre'Quan Smith, Marquez Callaway, unproven and probably like not, who knows? Adam Trautman, you know, an unknown tight end is their starter. Like Latavius Murray might be on the roster bubble for Devonta Freeman to save a few bucks. I don't know if that's true, but those are some of the reports and the percolations out there right now. There's just, like you said, there's nothing, there's not a lot here. And that is kind of concerning for a top 5 running back, but the good news is Kamara might catch legitimately like 120 passes because of the receiver shortage in there right now. So I haven't been fading Alvin Kamara. If I have the 5th overall pick, I'm going to take him over guys like Saquon Barkley with the questions there. You know, guys like Aaron Jones and Nick Chubb who aren't like locked into to full workloads like Alvin Kamara is. But I just think the Saints offense is a total mystery right now. But good news, Marcus, they have 5 primetime games for us to watch and figure out over the course of the year.
So look, here's the thing. You know, part of the reason that you and I and James Coe are friends is because, you know, I consider you guys wonderful people to talk to and hang around with, but also because we seem to think alike in a lot of respects, because you named those 3 snapshot guys you named with Marquez Callaway, Bryan Edwards, and Van Jefferson. I think I took them all in the late rounds in my Kings Classic draft. So I did. I took some darts and threw it, and I hit all 3 of those guys in the late rounds of the draft. So it's nice to know that you know, there is somebody that validates my line of thinking.
What are friends for if not for just like validating each other? You know,
exactly. So you went on a little bit of a Jalen Reagor rant, but lately, you know, there have been, you know, Twitter highlights of him making plays in practice, and you know, talk that maybe he's starting to turn a corner. Like, is that enough to at least pique your interest on him again?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier Jalen Reagor, 2nd worst success rate versus man coverage ever charted in reception perception history. I really do think that just describes how his rookie year went. You know, it wasn't just quarterback issues. It wasn't just like an overall offensive problem. I think there was a Jalen Reagor problem here too. Like, I don't think he played well from an individual perspective, but like, to kind of put that success rate into some context here too, not that I'm going to like say that that's, you know, not like it is what it is. That's the result of his rookie year. But let's talk through some of the other bottom performers who are not slot receivers in this metric. Justin Hunter, the stone worst. Then there's Jalen Reagor, Devontae Parker's rookie year, Marquise Lee's rookie year, and then Davante Adams' rookie year. So I think that actually gives you a really good spectrum on which to work with for Jalen Reagor, because maybe he's Justin Hunter and just washes out of the league because he can't play. That's one possible outcome. Maybe he becomes Devontae Parker, a guy who takes forever to turn on, has like one good year, and then that's kind of it. Like, Parker, I don't even know what it, like what his potential is this year. Like, I think he's a tough player to draft right now. Or he's Marquise Lee, who turned into kind of like a bad
The albino tiger. He was the albino tiger, right? Like, you rarely see him, but when you do, it's pretty special.
But he had like 700 yards once, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like what we're looking at. Or Davante Adams, he becomes the best player in the at his position in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be Justin Hunter, and I don't think he's going to be Davante Adams, basically. If I could, this is a good idea for a tweet thread. Thanks, Marcus.
Oh, glad to help.
I don't think he's going to be like the, let's just not bet on him being the stone worst or the stone best outcome in that spectrum. I think he could fall somewhere between being Marquise Lee and Devontae Parker, which is like, again, Parker, maybe he's an average level starter, and Marquise Lee probably in a situation where like he can have a couple of moments, but eventually sort of fades away after a few years in the league, or is just like a rotational guy. I think that's probably what could happen with Jalen Reagor. So I don't mind if you like Jalen Reagor. And by the way, I did kind of like Jalen Reagor as a prospect because of the speed and athleticism and everything that was there that you could see in college. Like, if he learns how to run routes and they line him up as a slot receiver more often, which is in like the range of outcomes, you know, that seems like what they could do with him there, then I think he could be an average level guy who, when all the situations are right, you know, when Ryan Fitzpatrick is his quarterback for 1 year, like Devontae Parker got to do, he could have that one big year or something. That's basically, I think, what you're looking at with Jalen Reagor. If I think that success rate actually, when you look at the other bottom guys, actually does kind of help you sort of put it into context what he could be.
So, I mean, basically you're saying, you know, Jalen Reagor is, what, I'd say anywhere between 2/3 to 3/4 of the wide receivers who play in the NFL, right? They're not amongst the elite tier. They're not amongst the worst.
Right.
They're, you know, decent players who, you know, like, come and go. I mean, so there's no shame in that. That's probably the majority of guys who play in the league. So,
and we don't have to like argue about it all off season on Twitter or whatever, right? Like, does it matter whether you get Jalen Reagor right or wrong this year? Probably not. But history would just indicate that it's very unlikely that he becomes, you know, an elite player or something like that. Look, you know,
I'm the guy who spent 2 years, like, you know, trying to make J-Jaw a deep sleeper. So, you know, who am I? I have no leg to stand on here in this argument whatsoever.
Tough scene. you and Howie Roseman both, man. Right? So,
look, in my defense, I watched him, you know, I watched Pac-12 football. Like, I watched him mossing USC defensive backs for like 4 years. So maybe my judgment was a little bit clouded. I'm willing to admit that. That's all.
Perhaps.
Before I let you go, I always like to do some rapid fire questions. I know I talk to you about a lot of things generally anyway, but maybe I'll dig in and find another layer to the Harmon onion here coming up. What's the last movie you watched? I know you're not a big movie watcher, but I'm curious what the last movie you watched was.
Yeah, when I saw this on the rundown, because I open up rundowns now, I had to think about it for a second. the last movie that I watched that I hadn't already seen was Knives Out, actually, which I had not seen.
Great movie.
With Daniel Craig. That was awesome. What a great movie.
It's a great movie.
We don't watch many movies in the house. Neither one of my fiance or I are big movie fans. You know I'm not a big movie fan. Right. She's not that I'm not a movie fan. I love movies. And actually, in the before times, I loved going to the movie theater because I could check off all boxes in terms of my favorite thing. I got to be left alone for 2 to 3 hours completely unbothered. I got to drink beer in the middle of the day, and I got to cheat on my diet. check. Let me do that right there. So I do love going to the movies. I just don't watch very many movies, especially at home. But we just were like, oh, let's watch a movie tonight. And I saw Knives Out was on Amazon for free or whatever. And we watched it. It was awesome. It was like one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. It was really great.
Yeah. Never would have pegged Daniel Craig as like a Southern detective. But I mean, here we are.
Or a spoiler alert. Like, well, no, I won't spoil it. Because I was going to say, like, it's been long enough, but I'm the clown who just watched it now.
Yeah.
So never mind. I won't spoil it. But yeah, all right. Yeah, there's other surprises, other character surprises.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's definitely a lot of fun.
It's good. Yeah.
What music are you streaming? I should probably say non-Dawes division, because I know that's always sort of like, you know, near the top of the rotation. But what are you listening to now?
I've been listening to a lot of Zach Brown Band, great summer band. Like, you know, I have a playlist on my Spotify called Country Music I Unironically Like. because I hate probably like 90% of country artists, but like the 10% that I like, I really unironically enjoy. Zach Brown Band probably being one of my favorite, and he's a great summer band. Great summer band. So that's like what music I've been listening to a lot. You know, whether driving like South Bay Stereotype, driving around in my Jeep, with my backwards hat and, you know, Sanooks on or whatever, they're doing that or grilling outside of the patio. That's usually Zach Brown Band, but, been listening to a lot of Office Ladies podcasts with Jenna Fisher and, Angela Kinsey. You know, I'm a big The Office fan, obviously. And that is, that's been kind of my main thing that I've been streaming right now. Is that podcast? It's great, really good to like revisit the show.
It is funny. Like I like The Office. Like I have no beef with The Office. I am amazed at the, I don't know, the resurrection, just the wave of love for The Office that has happened in the last, especially during the pandemic. Maybe it's because everybody was at home and it was like, you know, televised comfort food while we were all sort of going through this pandemic.
It really
Yeah, it's amazing to me.
Well, listening to the podcast, the everyone associated with the show is surprised by that too. they're surprised by that it even made it onto the air, which I think is actually the most enjoyable thing about really listening to it is like the journey or whatever of it getting on air. Do you know the first season actually shot in Culver City, sort of near like some warehouse kind of, I would say just on the border of Culver City.
So Culver City, like a Jace, basically, you know. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put it like in the square heat of the bubble, but definitely like bubble adjacent. Yeah,
that's a reference that basically like five of us are gonna.
Yeah, nobody got that. Nobody got that. It's like, what's the bubble? What the hell is he talking about?
What is he talking about? Last one. What would be the title of your memoir?
Oh, I have no idea, man. I have no idea. I don't know.
I think mine would be like Because I'm a Grown Up. Like that's kind of basically what it would be.
I'd have no idea. I couldn't imagine writing a memoir, man. I used to think I wanted to write like there's a lot of things like in the last year and like I guess 2 years really, like I feel like I've aged 100 years in the last 2 years. Probably a lot of people did, also, but
many of us have.
Many folks have there, but there are many things. I used to think I wanted to write like a my life story type of book. I couldn't imagine possibly doing that now. Like, and it's big things like that and simple things of like, you know how Instagram shows you like, this is what you were doing 2 years ago or whatever. I look at like asking my followers, like, respond to this question box, and my question is like, I couldn't imagine doing that now. Like, I don't care what don't ask me any, don't respond to anything, don't ask me any questions, leave me alone. So I don't know that I would be a good memoir candidate at this point. I just find other people much more interesting and like relating to that, so I don't think I would write a memoir basically.
All right, that's fair enough.
My memoir is titled Stories About
Other People.
You people. Yeah.
That sounds actually right up your alley. And honestly, I might read that, to be honest with you.
Oh, there we go. Maybe that's my next project.
There you go.
A memoir not about myself.
That's the next one. All right, dude. I was like chatting with you in pretty much any format, but this one especially. One more time for folks who maybe somehow don't know about Reception Perception. You know, let them know, man.
Yeah, receptionperception.com. We've got a bunch of cool stuff going on right now. Obviously, like some of these success rate route metrics that I've mentioned, those are there are profiles on 60-plus guys, both college and NFL players, that you can find on the site, sortable data tables as well with all of these metrics. And we've got some cool like season preview stuff, mostly our master plan, which is all a James Coe baby, by the way. That was his idea. It's a free downloadable PDF. If you subscribe to the site, it's a completely free add-on to your subscription. You just download it, and it'll hopefully prepare you for not just your wide receiver fantasy draft, but everything along the way. And I would, of course, be remiss if I didn't shout out the Yahoo Fantasy Football podcast that I'm still on as well. Please go check that out. I'm on twice a week during the season. My episode's middle of the week with Dalton Del Don are some of my favorites, because Dalton, if there was ever somebody that should tweet more, it's Dalton, because he's got the spiciest takes, but never tweets. So you got to listen to the podcast basically to find out some of his awesome takes.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should probably mention the fact that you still do work for Yahoo, and that is sort of like, you know, the main gig that you're doing.
If anyone that employs me at Yahoo listens to this, they'll be sure to remind me that I should mention it before the hour mark of the podcast.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna actually just email this directly to Andy Behrens and just tell him like, hey, look, this is what Harmon's doing nowadays.
I said somebody that employs me, not Andy Behrens. Andy Behrens ain't signing those checks, buddy, I'll tell you that.
Oh man, that's which why I had Andy on, great people, he's a lot of fun.
He's the best. Like, yeah,
and I do wish Dalton would tweet more, because Dalton is sort of a fantasy savant, I think, but he does he sort of keeps his things to himself.
If I could, like, I'm gonna just bogart the podcast here one more time. Actually, I think it's my fault that Dalton doesn't tweet, because he usually would tweet a little bit here and there. And after doing the pod with him for like a year and a half, I told him, I was like, man, you got to tweet more. Like, you have the spiciest, hottest takes of the group for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, me and Andy, pretty bland, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, we've got some good things here or there, but like, Dalton really legitimately, like, his rankings full of heaters, full of like outliers that he's ahead of the consensus on. I was like, you got to tweet more, man. You got to tweet more. And this was like week six of the NFL season last year, after Dak went down, and he put out a tweet like, oh, Andy Dalton will be just as good as Dak Prescott. And right before Monday Night Football, when Andy Dalton just blew it against the Cardinals, and he was eviscerated for that. And I legit don't think he's tweeted since. So this actually might be my fault.
Yeah, that tends to happen. Dalton, you're not alone on that. I certainly understand it. So, pal, always like talking to you. We'll talk soon. And when I say soon, I mean probably like in the next, you know, 10, 15 minutes on Slack or something.
Sounds
like
good.
That.
Yeah. Cool. I'll see you there.
Sounds good, man. Anyway, for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends and tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, there aren't many short synonyms for the word abbreviation. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Get vaccinated. And we'll see you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.